वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय त्वयि मे नान्यविषया मथिर्मधुपते सकृत् रथिम् उद्वहथाद् अधा गंगे वो गम उड़ानवती. O Lord of Madhu, as the Ganges forever flows to the sea without hindrance, let my attraction be constantly drawn unto you without being diverted to anyone else. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Perfection of pure devotional service is attained when all attention is diverted towards the transcendental loving service of the Lord. To cut off the tie of all other affections does not mean complete negation of the finer elements, like affection for someone else. This is not possible. A living being, whoever he may be, must have this feeling of affection for others, because this is a symptom of life. The symptoms of life, such as desire, anger, hankerings, feelings of attraction, etc., cannot be annihilated. Only the objective has to be changed. Desire cannot be negated, but in devotional service the desire is changed only for the service of the Lord in place of desire for sense gratification. The so-called affection for family, society, country, etc. consists of different phases of sense gratification. When this desire is changed for the satisfaction of the Lord, it is called devotional service. In the Bhagavad Gita, we can see that Arjuna desired not to fight with his brothers and relations, just to satisfy his own personal desires. But when he heard the message of the Lord, Srimad Bhagavad Gita, he changed his decision and served the Lord. And for his doing so, he became a famous devotee of the Lord. For it is declared in all the scriptures that Arjuna attained spiritual perfection by devotional service to the Lord in friendship. The fighting was there. The friendship was there. Arjuna was there. And Krishna was there. But Arjuna became a different person by devotional service. Therefore, the prayers of Kunti would also indicate the same categorical changes in activities. Srimati Kunti wanted to serve the Lord without diversion, and that was her prayer. This unalloyed devotion is the ultimate goal of life. Our attention is usually diverted to the service of something which is non-godly or not in the program of the Lord. When the program is changed into the service of the Lord, that is to say, when the senses are purified in relation with the service of the Lord, it is called pure unalloyed devotional service. Srimati Kunti Devi wanted that perfection and prayed for it from the Lord. Her affection for the Pandavas and the Vrishnis is not out of the range of devotional service, because the service of the Lord and the service of the devotees are identical. Sometimes service to the devotee is more valuable than service to the Lord. But here the affection of Kunti Devi for the Pandavas and the Vrishnis is due to family relation. This tie of affection in terms of material relation is the relation of Maya, because the relations of the body or the mind are due to the influence of the external energy. Relations of the soul, established in relation with the Supreme Soul, are factual relations. When Kunti Devi wanted to cut off the family relation, she meant to cut off the relation of the skin. The skin relation is the cause of material bondage, but the relation of the soul is the cause of freedom. This relation of the soul to the soul can be established by the via medium of the relation with the super soul. Seeing in the darkness is not seeing, but seeing by the light of the sun means to see the sun and everything else which was unseen in the darkness. That is the way of devotional service. As the Ganges forever flows to the sea without hindrance, let my attraction be constantly drawn unto you without being diverted to anyone else. Our dear friend Shruti Dharma Prabhu has asked me to speak on this verse for the pleasure of the devotees this evening. These are the prayers that Queen Kunti offered to Lord Sri Krishna after the coronation of Yudhishthira as the king of the world. As Krishna was about to leave Hastinapur and return to his own kingdom of Dwarka, Kunti Devi is one of the most important and glorified of all devotees throughout history. The great acharyas, even the greatest of the Goswamis throughout our Vaishnav history, has worshipped Kunti Devi and meditated with great intensity on the beautiful prayers she offered to the Lord. What was Kunti Devi's occupation? She was not a sannyasi, Goswami. She was not a Babaji. She was not a great, great heroic king or warrior. Nor was she a famous pundit of the various scriptures, scholar. Her occupation was only one thing. She was a mother. She was a mother of five children. Her husband Pandu died when the children were very small, and she was a widow, and she had to practically single-handedly take care of these five children. And her love for these children were beyond the imagination of how people could love each other in this age of Kali Yuga. But in her love for her children, she always was able to perceive the eternal soul within their heart and how they were part and parcel of the Supreme Soul, or Krishna. Therefore, her love for them was perfect and pure and in transcendental knowledge. And how she dedicated her life to caring for these devotees in the form of her children is a great, great narration which takes up the majority of the entire scripture Mahabharata, which is over 100,000 slokas as written by Srila Veda Vyas. Her children were meant to be the heirs to the kingdom of Hastinapur and the world. But because they were without a father, their uncle, Dhritarashtra, was meant to take care temporarily of the state's affairs until the eldest brother, Yudhisthira, was grown to age where he could be the king. But in the process, the sons of Dhritarashtra, there were 100 such sons, the eldest being Duryodhana, they became very envious. Duryodhana could not tolerate seeing his cousin Yudhisthira the king. He wanted the kingdom for himself. Due to false pride, due to that desire for recognition and power, he became so cruel that in so many ways he tried to assassinate Yudhisthira, to kill him and all of his brothers. And Kunti had to see all this with her own eyes. It was such a difficult situation for her to have to undergo. When she was just a little girl, somehow or other, by a very extraordinary arrangement, she gave birth to a child who was the son of Surya, the sun god. But due to social reasons, she had to go through the terrible, heartbreaking experience of abandoning her child. And her five next children, they were sent to a house in the name of a vacation, which was made out of flammable materials called lakh. And somehow Vidura sent a message that you should leave this house at this particular time because they're going to burn it and try to kill all of you. And at that time, they escaped through a tunnel underground, Kunti and her five children, and the house was set on fire. And in this way, they were hiding in the forest. They went to the place Ekachakra, and they were incognito. Here is a woman who was meant to be the queen of the world, and her sons who are meant to be kings, and they are hiding in the jungles, running for their lives. And later on, they returned to Hastinapur, and there were so many attempts at their life, so many terrible, terrible lies created against them and circulated throughout society. And then there was that famous tournament that took place where Yudhisthira and the Pandavas lost everything. And they were banished to the forest for many long years. And while they were in the forest, so many terrible rakshasas were trying to kill them. Bhima, whose name is Bhrikodhar, because he had a very hearty appetite. He didn't, for all those, 12, 14 years, for all those years, he never had a decent meal. He was always hungry. All the Pandavas would go out to somehow or other collect food, and they'd bring it back. At one time when Kunti was there, she would say, you divide it evenly. Anyways, evenly meant that half would go to Bhima and the other half would go to the other five. And he was still always hungry. And you know how mothers always like to keep their children well fed. So she had to suffer seeing her children going through so much, not knowing where they would live or die from day to day. And then, of course, there was the great battle of Kurukshetra. And just before the battle, it was actually sometime before, it was revealed to her that Karna, or Radheya, was her eldest son. And he became the worst enemy of Arjuna. And she understood that in this battle they were going to fight till death. And at one time she begged Karna, please, you are my son, do not fight this battle. But Karna said, I have given my word, I cannot go against my word. So in this way, the life of Kunti is a life of one tragedy, one difficulty, one calamity after another and another and another. And the calamities to herself she didn't mind. But the great atrocities, injustices, inconveniences, and torturous situations to her beloved children was very, very, very painful and difficult for her to bear. That is the nature of a mother's love. But through it all, she always had faith and confidence that Krishna will protect. Krishna promised in Bhagavad Gita, Kaunteya prati janehi name bhakta pranashati. I will always protect my devotee. Kunti was always hearing the news of the various difficulties her children were in. You all know the well-known story of the time when they were living at Kamvan. And Duryavasa Muni came to visit Duryodhana. And Duryodhana wanted to see the demise and the downfall of the Pandavas by any means possible. So he knew that Duryavasa Muni was very easily pleased and very easily angry. If he was pleased, he could give very nice benedictions. But if he was angry, he could curse and spoil your entire life. So he was thinking, he tried to kill the Pandavas and destroy them in so many ways. But if Duryavasa Muni were there to curse them, then they're finished. So he told Duryavasa that you should go to Yudhisthira. He's living in the forest. And his wife, Draupadi, she's a very good cook. And she will make very wonderful prasad for you and all of your disciples. Now, Duryavasa Muni would travel with 60,000 disciples. And Draupadi had a pot, very special pot. And this pot had no limit to how much it could feed people. It was a mystical pot. And it could feed millions of people until Draupadi ate. After Draupadi ate, then the pot became just like any ordinary pot until the next day. So Duryodhana was very intelligent. And he used his intelligence for only one purpose, to destroy the Pandavas. So he told Duryavasa Muni, you should go to Kamvan and ask prasad at this particular time, knowing that that's just after Draupadi has eaten. So Duryavasa Muni went. He came to the house of the Pandavas. And the Pandavas saw him coming, and he said, now I am here, and myself and my disciples, we are quite hungry. Please give us some prasad. And Yudhisthira said to Draupadi, where's the pot? Where's the pot? She said, I already ate. It's finished. There's nothing left. And Yudhisthira was thinking, my God, he comes as a guest. If we don't give him prasad, he will curse us. What will happen if he curses us? The curse of such a powerful sage as Duryavasa Muni. So Yudhisthira was trying to buy time. He said, Duryavasa, I think first you should take your bath in River Jamuna and then come back and take nice prasad. So Duryavasa Muni went to Jamuna with his disciples. And the Pandavas were just praying, Krishna save us. Because sometimes there are situations where all you can do is call out for Krishna. And that's actually the great blessing of the Lord. When we're in a problem that we can solve ourselves, that is not such great mercy. God helps those who help themselves. We have to do the best we can. But in this material world, because it is so full of reversals and dangers and complexities, sometimes we are put in situations that are just beyond our control, that are simply impossible for us. At that time, we either have to give up or we have to cry out for the help of God. So Draupadi, Yudhisthira, all the Pandavas, they were just praying, Krishna save us. Krishna Sharanam Mam. You are our only shelter. Please save us, Krishna. And Krishna always hears the prayers of his devotees. Krishna is within the heart of every living being. He hears your every desire. He hears your every word. He hears your every thought. So we should be very careful what we desire, what we think, and what we speak, what to speak of what we do, because it is all being absorbed and calculated by Krishna. When his devotee helplessly cries out for his mercy, he reciprocates. So Krishna just happened to come at that time to the Pandava's house. And when Krishna came, Draupadi was in even greater anxiety. Durvas Muni comes, there's no prasad for him. A guest comes to your house, you must at least offer something. Hare Krishna. Now Krishna's coming. We have nothing to offer him. So she was in great distress. So Krishna came and said, I want some food. Do you have prasad? Bhoga. And she said, well, there's nothing. Krishna, I'm sorry. This is a great offense. There's nothing here. He said, there must be something. She said, nothing. There must give me the pot. Let me see. So she brought the pot. And Krishna saw one little tiny sliver, a little speck of sabji that was somehow caught on the bottom of the pot, and when it was washed, it was missed. And he just scraped it off the bottom, and he ate it. And he said, I am very satisfied. That patram pushpam palam toyam yome bhakta prayachchati. Krishna is not concerned with the quantity or the ingredients. He is concerned with the bhakti, the devotion. He is satisfied by devotion. This was proven in another instance. One time Krishna came to Hastinapur and everyone wanted to impress Krishna, because if you impress Krishna and you get his mercy, you become very fortunate. So Duryodhana prepared a big, 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 wonderful feast with the finest cooks in the entire kingdom. Eloquent, elaborate, with golden and silver plates and want beautiful, beautiful gifts. And his whole palace was decorated in a wonderful way with all sorts of entertainers and all sorts of festive ornaments, all to greet Krishna. And Krishna just walked right by his palace and went to the house of Vidura. Vidura was a very simple man. He really had nothing. And he wasn't even expecting Krishna to come. He was thinking he'd go to Duryodhana, so Vidura wasn't even home. So Krishna came to the house, and Vidura's wife was there. And she said, oh, no, Krishna has come. I must give him prasad. But we have nothing. All we have in our house is some bananas. So she was very nervous. She didn't even have her husband to help her. So she began to peel the bananas, and in her nervousness, she threw the banana out the door and gave Krishna the peel. And Krishna ate the peel. Very nice. He was very happy. Very sweet. And she just kept making this mistake of throwing out the banana and giving him the peel. And he was just eating banana peel after banana peel. And he was very happy. He was happier eating the bitter banana peel from his devotee than for the most luxurious, opulent feast from someone who had pride and envy in their heart. No devotion. So when Krishna ate this little speck of sabji, he was so satisfied that by his supreme powers, all the sages, along with Durvasa Muni, who were in the Jamuna, they all became so filled up as if they ate such a big, big feast that they were like, And Durvasa Muni was thinking, what are we going to do? Yudhisthira Maharaj is such a wonderful host that surely he has made a big, 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 big feast with Draupadi's pot, and it's going to be so big, and if we go there and we can't eat anything, it's an offense. He's making all these arrangements. We have to eat something. But they couldn't even fit one sesame seed in their mouth because they were so filled up because of Krishna eating that sabji. So they were wondering what to do, what to do. Meanwhile, Krishna told Bhima, you should go tell Durvasa Muni and his disciples that prasad is ready. Bhima, he didn't know that they were all filled up. He was thinking, what is this? We'll tell them, and they'll come, and there's nothing here. Even that speck is gone. So anyways, with faith in Krishna, sometimes we don't understand with our intelligence, but we follow what Krishna says. So he picked up his club, and he went coming, and when Durvasa Muni and his followers saw Bhima coming with club, they were thinking, oh my God, if we offend Yudhisthira and Draupadi, because Bhima and Draupadi, they had a very loving relationship. If we offend Draupadi by not eating her food, Bhima might beat us with his club. So they all, when they saw him coming, they all ran away as fast as they could. In this way, Krishna always protects his devotee. So the Pandavas were put through so many difficult situations like this. And Kunti was seeing it and hearing it every day. Tragedy after tragedy. Misuse after misuse. And in Hastinapur, so many terrible rumors and gossip were trying to be spread by Duryodhana and his brothers against the Pandavas. And ultimately, after so long, this great battle of Kurukshetra took place. Yudhisthira and the Pandavas wanted to avoid this war in every way possible. They sent Krishna that you please go and you ask Duryodhana, if he just gives us 5 villages, we will be satisfied. He can have the rest of the world. And when Krishna came, Duryodhana's reply was, I will not give them as much land as you can place the head of a needle through. So what to do? The war was fought. The Pandavas were outnumbered. The Kurus had more powerful warriors. But by the grace of Lord Krishna, the Pandavas were victorious. And after this great victory, Krishna personally coronated Yudhisthira as king. And now, after all these years of so much hardship and persecution, the Pandavas were in a completely safe, prosperous, and glorified position. And when Krishna was about to leave, Queen Kunti ran to him and fell at his feet and began to offer these prayers. Vipada shantu tashashwa tatra tatra jagat guru. Bhavato dharshanam yatsyat apuna bhava dharshanam. She said, Krishna, let these calamities come again and again and again. Because in these calamities I am in a helpless situation. I can only think of you. I can only remember you. And in remembering you, I am with you. When I remember you, there is no more birth and there is no more death. Because Krishna is absolute. He is transcendental. When we remember Krishna with sincere feeling and devotion, we actually are in direct presence of Krishna. Lord Kapiladev told his mother Devahuti in Srimad Bhagavat that there are so many injunctions and so many scriptures throughout the world. So many rules and regulations, so much philosophy, so many instructions, so many analogies. But they are all meant to bring us to one point of understanding the two supreme most important of all instructions. To always remember Krishna and to never forget Krishna. That is the culmination, the sum and substance, the conclusion of all knowledge. Om apavitra apavitro va sarvavastam gato pisma yasmaret pundarikaksham sabhayabhyantara suchi. Whether one is purified, whole life should be orchestrated, organized very, very carefully so that we can remember Krishna. Because the temporary responsibilities we have in this world cannot be neglected, but they should all be performed in such a way that helps us to progress toward our eternal goal in life. Yova etarakshadam garigi avrit lashma praiti sakripana. The Upanishads explain that a person is a miserly man or woman if they take this very rare, valuable human form of life and they waste it like the cats and dogs, simply making nice arrangements for themselves, for their families, and ultimately they grow old, get diseased, and die. And they do not understand what is the soul, what is God, what is the relationship, and what is love, spiritual love. We should not die like the cats and dogs. Atato brahma jigyasa. Human life is meant to understand the truth. Who is God? And what is our relationship with God? And how to live in this world according to our eternal relationship with God? We are the eternal servants of the Lord. Jivera swarupoi krishnara nityadas. And this life is meant to be utilized as a service to the Lord. So Queen Kunti was praying, when everything is very safe and very nice, the tendency is to just think that this world is a wonderful place and just go on trying to be comfortable and enjoy. But when things are helplessly out of control, at that situation, we have to cry out for Krishna. Kunti's daughter-in-law, Draupadi, the famous story, she was a great princess, very intelligent, very cultured lady. And she was being stripped naked by Dushasana in this court of so many big, big warriors. And the only purpose was to completely humiliate her and disgrace her. And she was trying to hold on to her sari with all her might. We all have to do the best we can to protect ourselves, to protect our families, to protect our spiritual lives. But then she realized that this man was as powerful as thousands of elephants and she was just a young lady. And he was pulling, and she was pulling, and it was a hopeless situation. After trying the best she possibly could, she just threw her arms up in the air and understood only Krishna can save me. And with utter humility and pridelessness, she helplessly cried out, Hey Krishna, Hey Govinda. And anyone who chants the holy names with in such a state of mind, Krishna immediately appears within his name to his devotee. And in this case, Krishna appeared by supplying an unlimited sari. And the more he pulled, the more she was dressed. And he was pulling and pulling and pulling, and the sari was filling up the whole room, mountains of sari material, and still she was dressed. She was just continuously chanting, Hey Krishna, Hey Govinda. She never stopped. She knew if she stopped chanting Krishna's name, the sari would stop. So she was chanting and he was pulling and the sari was continuing to get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger until finally Dushasana was exhausted. And she conquered him by her humble devotion to Lord Krishna. And for this reason she is famous to this day. If she was not put in those circumstances, she would not have been so famous. Our own beloved spiritual master, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, you hear the story of how helpless he was when he was trying to give Krishna consciousness for you and me. The Atlantic Ocean, terrible storms and high winds and big waves, and he was seasick and he was getting heart attacks. He couldn't even write in his diary. For those of you who have seen his diary during those days, there's just a line like... He was on his deathbed. And he just prayed, Krishna, I am yours. And just at that time, he had a vision. And in this vision, Krishna appeared on a boat with all of his incarnations. And told Prabhupada, from now on, I am taking charge of this boat. There's nothing to fear. And then the storm went away, and the ocean was completely clean and nice. And after that, the captain, Pandey, and his wife, they told Prabhupada, we never had such a smooth voyage across the Atlantic Ocean. Must be because of you. Maybe you can come with us wherever we go. Because Srila Prabhupada went through so many difficulties, always just depending on Krishna's mercy, he will be glorified forever for such acts of devotion. So Queen Kunti was praying for tragedies, calamities, and problems. Because she said, now Krishna, if you leave us, we're really in trouble. If everything's nice, we may forget you. So let these calamities come so we're always with you by always crying out for your mercy. This is the great prayers of this devotee. And here, today's verse is so wonderful. She is praying, O Lord of Madhu, Krishna, as the Ganges forever flows to the sea without hindrance, let my attraction be forever drawn to you without being diverted to anything or anyone else. For those of you who have ever studied the nature of a river, it's a very fascinating subject. In fact, many years ago, actually before I met my spiritual master, I was living on the bank of the Ganges, and I was very carefully trying to study what I could learn from life from Mother Ganges. And one of the most wonderful things I learned was how her flow just keeps going toward the sea. It just keeps going. There's so many obstacles. There's so many things that come in her path. Sometimes big, big rocks and stones fall from the Himalayas and in the Ganges. Big, immovable stones. But Mother Ganga just keeps flowing and just somehow goes around the stone. Sometimes big, big trees fall in. And she just keeps flowing and goes around the tree. And I was thinking all the problems in life. Life is like a river. And all the problems we have in life are like these stones and big, big stones and small stones and big trees and small trees. They're just falling in the flow of the stream of our life. And somehow or other our consciousness just has to continue to go around, over, under, somehow or other, but continue toward the sea. Krishna. You see, the sea is the source of the river, and it is also the goal of the river. The scriptures explain that the sun burns on the sea and evaporates the water into clouds, and then the clouds are blown by the wind, to the mountains, and then the mount, and then it starts to rain, and then it goes into the glacier, and then it goes into the river. So in this way, the source of the water is the sea, and the water is flowing toward the sea. And the river never stops flowing to the sea, no matter what happens, by natural arrangement. It will somehow continue its flow without hindrance. Every drop will reach the sea. Maybe not every drop, but the entire flow will reach the sea. So Queen Kunti was praying, let my devotion to you, let my consciousness be like that river Ganges. Let it always be flowing unto you. No matter how many problems, no matter how many disturbances, no matter how many sufferings, no matter how many reversals, no matter how many tragedies, and these things all come in life. You cannot avoid it. Material life means tragedy, crisis, problem. There's some happiness, there's some pleasure, no doubt. But your loved ones will die. There will be sickness, there will be wars, there will be droughts, there will be hurricanes, there will be so many things, diseases, and ultimately there will be old age and death. These are all obstacles, these are all problems. And in our spiritual life, so many things. Our mind is agitated, our senses want so many terrible things. We're lazy. Spiritually lazy, we don't want to chant, we don't want to read, we just want to sleep and just be like mudhas and work for more money. These are all obstacles. What to speak of having to deal with other people? Very difficult. Because in Kali Yuga, this is the age of quarrel and hypocrisy. It's an age where everyone is inclined to distrust each other and fight with each other and see hypocrisy in each other. It's the age of Kali. The more you live, the more you see these things. It shouldn't come as a surprise. If you're living in the monsoon rain season, it shouldn't come as a surprise if it rains. If you're living in the winter, it shouldn't be a surprise if it's cold. Why is it cold? It shouldn't be cold. It is. It's the age of Kali. Quarrel, hypocrisy. In America, the divorce rate is 70%, and that's official. Unofficial, we don't know how many. It's probably 101%. But maybe not. There's some. My mother and father, they had their 50th wedding anniversary last year. So I went to see them to say, thank you very much. This is a very great thing. It's probably more rare than people taking sannyas and keeping their vows. In the age of Kali Yuga, it's a very difficult situation. Anyways, this is the nature. To somehow or other continue our spiritual life, continue unity and harmony amongst devotees through all these reasons for crisis, for disunity, for dissolution of our mind and our consciousness and our life, they will all be there in the river of our existence. But Queen Kunti is praying, through it all, let my mind, let my heart, let my consciousness always flow to you, Krishna. Not to be diverted to any of the illusions of this world. And Srila Prabhupada so nicely explains that Queen Kunti was a mother. And she had natural affection for her children. She wasn't saying, obviously she wasn't saying, take away my affection for my children. Because her whole life was dedicated to trying to protect and pray for the welfare of her children. But she was praying to Krishna, break completely, absolutely all ties of material attachment for my children and my family members and my relatives and my in-laws and everyone else. Not this skin disease. My relationship to them is not on the basis that of the skin and social caste and all of these other things. My relationship to them is that we are all spirit souls and we are all part of you. Let my relationship with my children, with all others, be in harmony with my relation to you. Srila Prabhupada explains that Krishna is the central pivot for all real loving relationships and exchanges in this world and in the spiritual world. If we actually put Krishna in the center of our lives, there can be true, eternal, pure love between many souls. And this is actually the love that should be between a husband and a wife, and the parents and the children and the parents, and friends, and godbrothers, and God's sisters. It should also be our relationship with all the conditioned souls and with all living entities, even the insects and the plants. If we love Krishna, if our heart and our desire and our consciousness is flowing toward service to Krishna, pleasing Krishna, loving Krishna, that love will include everything and everyone. Because aham bija pratapita. Krishna said, I am the seed-giving father of all living entities. No one is not related to Krishna. Some have forgotten and some are remembering. That is the difference. This is Krishna consciousness. And this is what Queen Kunti is praying for. Let my mind never be diverted to any of these material considerations. Let it never be diverted from your service, my Lord. Let me always keep you as the center, the focus of my life and all my relationships. And this prayer is so important for all of us to understand and to live by. We should all be praying in this way, sincerely. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has taught us how we could cultivate this type of consciousness where our consciousness is always flowing toward Krishna. Because Krishna has descended within the sound of his name. And if Krishna's name is the medium amongst us, then our relationship is spiritual. Our relationship is eternal. And our relationship can be that of real love. Not material affection, but love. Love is a spiritual principle that has to be centered in God. So therefore, Lord Chaitanya has taught. He taught his followers, wherever you go, you teach this simple message. Chant Krishna's name. Worship Krishna. Remember Krishna. Serve his devotees. Krishna is your mother. Krishna is your father. Krishna is your treasure and your wealth, and he is your very life and soul. Chant the names of Krishna. Always. Wherever you are, whoever you're with, make Krishna's name the center of your life. And this is a practical, simple formula by which we could always keep our desires flowing toward the supreme ocean of mercy, Lord Krishna, by associating with his devotees, by trying to be a servant, not a manipulator, not an enjoyer, but a servant. We shouldn't serve Krishna or the Vaishnavas for our sake. We should serve Krishna and the Vaishnavas in a mood of how to help them, how to assist them, how to make them happy. That is service. No selfish consideration, no conditions. This should be our aspiration. This should be our prayer. And in this spirit, we should regularly chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. And if we capture this most sacred principle within our life, then whatever obstacles, whatever disturbances, whatever crises that will come, not might come, will come, it is just a matter of time. they will only help us to flow faster, quicker, and more intensely toward the ocean of Krishna. Nothing can stop us. There is no material consideration that can block our spiritual life if we are sincere. So we have nothing to fear. The only fear we have is forgetting Krishna. That's all. Anything else will come and go anyway. But let us go through this life gracefully in remembrance of Krishna, by coming together and chanting his name. And here at Bhaktivedanta Manor, you have had a very nice, opportunity to understand this principle. For 10 years you were battling to keep this temple open. It's actually wonderful. You could have at any time given up. There were so many reasons to give up. If you were to consult materialistic people, they would say, it's hopeless, you just give up. The devotees never give up, because they understand that Krishna is in control. And we will fight for Krishna, and whether we win or lose, it really doesn't matter. What matters is that we're doing it for Krishna. Krishna told Arjuna, you fight this battle, and if you win, you'll get the world, and if you lose, you'll go back to Godhead. What is the difference? Either you get the world and then go back to Godhead, or you go back to Godhead. So we fight. So for 10 years, Akandari Prabhu, Shuti Dharma Prabhu, Pranabandhu Prabhu, Atmanivedan Swami Prabhu, all of the devotees here, too many names to enumerate, they worked very, very hard. And they fought and they battled, and all of you, the whole congregation, went on marches and strikes and were vocal, gave so much of your hard-earned money to help, your support. Some of you risked a lot with faith in Krishna, and you fought. And when you fight it, and within a few days or a few weeks or a few months, the decision is made. That's easy. But when it goes on year after year after year after year after year, and there's no real result, in fact, at a certain point, everything appeared to be just falling in, and it seemed like you were defeated. You lost. And then you kept fighting the appeal. It was wonderful. The whole world was watching. And ultimately, after all these years, Radha Gokulanandas said, all right, I am pleased with your efforts. You have done well. You have given your lives for me. And there was a great victory. And not only a great victory, but now all this more land and all this nice road, so much land for the cows and for children to play Krishna's leelas, and I don't know what else he'll do with the land, but there's a lot of land. Wonderful land. And if it wasn't for all this problem, we would have never gotten that land. So ultimately, because the devotees just were faithful to Krishna, he gave us something we would have never had without that problem. So we understand that such obstacles, such calamities, such reversals, such difficulties are actually our servants, our friends, helping us to purify our consciousness, helping us to get out of lethargy, which is our tendency, helping us to take shelter of Krishna, helping us to helplessly pray to Krishna, and ultimately, he will give us more than we ever had before. It is consistently within our scriptures. Prahlad was a little boy. Hiranyakashipu tried to kill him. Prahlad was just chanting Hare Krishna, remembering Krishna, and ultimately he was given the whole throne of the world. The Pandavas were persecuted for more than 10 years even. They lost everything, but ultimately they were given the whole world to rule over. Rupa Goswami said, that whatever you have, offer it to Krishna. You'll never be the loser, but you will gain millions and billions of times. Because Krishna is all perfect, all attractive. O Lord of Madhu, as the Ganges forever flows to the sea without hindrance, let my attraction be forever drawn unto you, without being diverted to anything or anyone else. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. How much time till art? At that time, I humbly request all of... regularly come together in Radha Gokulananda's temple to dance and chant for the pleasure of the Lord.